Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Welcome in. I'm Jimmy Hicks, not Todd Friel, but we're going to get to Todd in just a moment. We're doing something kind of different today. As many of you know, we recently released a new resource at FortisPlus.org from Fortis fellow Libby Clausen for women and the issue women are increasingly dealing with but not necessarily talking about. And that's the issue of pornography.
The statistics are frightening. An increasing number of women, particularly young women, are now downloading and viewing pornography. This should cause a collective gasp. Why? Well, I think in society, we kind of expect men to be acting in ways that... We expect men to act when they look at pornography, but we don't expect it from women. What is happening? Why are more women consuming pornography, and what can the church do about it? Fortis fellow Libby Clausen joining us in studio to discuss something Libby never wanted to talk about. Don't like talking about it for men, but it's a constant conversation because the statistics are frightening. Depending on which poll you look at least 90% of American males are looking at pornography on the regs. Women, not quite as high, but the number is growing, especially with young women. So, Libby, if you would be so kind to initiate us into this conversation, what's going on? Why are women looking at pornography? This is not something we expect from them. This is man's territory. Why are so many women downloading and consuming pornography?
Well, I think it's just indicative of what's going on in our society as a whole, that we are tending and trending towards more and more depravity, debauchery. It's more available. I think it's interesting that it's not just downloading. It's reading and listening and looking all combined.
I wonder, do we have any statistics when it comes to women visually looking at pornography versus through the written word? Do we know what the stats are on that?
Well, the statistics that I was able to locate were a general population poll, so not specifically Christian women, but it was around 67% of ladies reporting. And that's interesting to me because I'm sure that a lot of ladies weren't being completely honest on those polls.
Typically, Libby, when I'm dealing with a man dealing with this issue, I'll say, how many times do you look at pornography a week? And if they'll say something like, well, once or twice, and I say, so like 5 to 8 times? Yeah. They always underestimate the amount. So these polls, as bad as they are, I think the reality is even worse. Okay, porn is more available. I grant you that. We're trending more toward depravity. I think Romans 1, when we see women acting in a depraved manner, that means we're pretty much getting close to the end of the rope here. But that doesn't explain why it is that, at least in the recent history of pornography consumption, men have consumed far more than women do, but women are catching up. What's changing here? Is there a dynamic inside of women that's changing besides the external availability?
Well, I would actually probably, I hadn't thought about it like that before, but now that I'm thinking about it, I would say that the blending of gender roles in our society as a whole, that so much crossover between what used to be only men's roles and only women's roles. And so much is crossing over now that I think that is just part of what's going on in general.
Yeah, we've been encouraging women to act like the worst parts of men.
Yes.
be frisky and unfaithful.
Right.
Maybe that is part of bearing the fruit that women are just, they're encouraged to do it. So they are. Yeah. Maybe a lifting of cultural shame.
mm-hmm.
is a part of it. Maybe
for sure.
Men blaze the trail, but now women are following and feeling like it's okay because we don't really critique men anymore for watching pornography. It's kind of like, mm-hmm.
Yes.
I've got a reason. Why do you think most pastors are not preaching about this subject from the pulpit?
Specifically for women?
No.
In general.
Pornography. We'll start with men.
Okay.
Because this has historically, until recently, been a male issue. Why do you think a lot of pastors don't preach on it?
Oh, goodness. I think that could be a couple of things. Maybe they struggle with it.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's where I would go first.
I've seen polls. Over half of pastors say, yeah, it's an issue for me. Half of pastors are struggling with pornography. That means half of pastors shouldn't be in pastoral ministry.
Absolutely.
And maybe they don't want to talk about it because they've got their own struggles with it. And how can they throw rocks from a glass house?
Yes.
So this is an issue, needless to say, for men and for women, I think has been underserved from the pulpit. But now that it's women, I think we really need to get urgent about this. Because if Romans 1 is true, if women are starting to behave in these ways, more promiscuous, whether it's pornography or through physical intimacy, we're in big trouble as a society. And for the Christian women who struggle with this, there is hope. There is help. You would agree with that?
100%. Yes.
All right. So let's start with a diagnosis. For a woman who is consuming pornography on whatever regularity, what's motivating it? What do you think is driving it?
I think it's a combination of a few things. Number one, it's a heart issue. It is something going on at the heart level, the desire level for women that is being normalized by our culture and is being almost encouraged by our culture, that it should be explored, that it's good, that it's part of becoming completely feminine or completely a sexual woman.
Free.
Right.
Liberated.
Yes, 100%. And then the other side of it, I think, is it's a worship issue. We are created to be worshipers. God created us to be worshipers. Of course, he created us to worship him. And as human beings, we get that all mixed up. And we start exchanging, like you mentioned in Romans, we exchange the true, what we should be worshiping for created things, for things that we think are going to serve us better.
A worship disorder is what you call it. A worship disorder. They're actually worshiping pornography?
I don't think that's really the crux of it. I think we would be creating kind of a new category of sin if we did that. Like this is over here in a silo, a place that has to be separate, a different kind of sin. Then therefore we'd be treating it differently. But I think all sin comes down to being a worship issue, that we are worshiping something other than God. So with pornography in particular, ladies are telling me and coming to me talking about what they're getting from the pornography. So whatever you worship, you're expecting something back from it. And what's coming back is, they think, love, acceptance, intimacy. That's not biblical intimacy. And it's all a farce.
Okay, let's take those one at a time. They're getting love from pornography. Are they just putting themselves into the role?
Yes. A lot of what ladies are struggling with is that fantasy, the reality versus what they wish things could be like. And they can enter kind of, because this is such a taboo issue for ladies, it's a kind of a secret place they can go, that they can enter into the fantasy and put themselves in the place of the having someone who is loving them. Because a lot of the times in these situations, in the pornography situations, you get an intimate relationship that looks like something that it really isn't, which I would say that is for the guys too.
Well, I'm wondering though too, because demographically, the statistics that I've seen indicate that it's younger women that are consuming more than older women are.
Yes.
Now, that could be dry, but I think also though, the number of young women that aren't getting married mm-hmm. is disproportionately higher than older women. And so they aren't receiving intimacy Right. And this is the substitute, perhaps?
Yes. And kind of goes along with the direction that our society is going since everything is so digital now. There's so many online relationships that supposedly count as if you have a real live person sitting across from you.
Right.
So intimacy digitally, too, kind of falls into that same realm of thinking.
But it is interesting to me, though, because historically, the excuse that is given for men consuming more porn than women is because men are more visually stimulated than women. But now women, you rightly stated, it's reading too, so the imagination. But visually, they're also receiving pleasure from pornography.
Right. Yes, that's true. And I think that has to do with how we consume information these days. That we consume information, so much of it visually now. Even videos that we watch online have the running subtitles under them, so you don't even have to turn the sound up. You're just visually engaging in so much. I think that that is just the trend because of how we even have relationships. I've had counselees who do better on a video counseling session than they do sitting across
from
me.
You're kidding.
No, that's true. Especially the younger ladies.
Wow, that's kind of sad. Because that's not the way we're supposed to be relating to
that's
one
right.
another.
Yes.
But they're so trained that they just feel more comfortable doing yes. it.
And we have much, much more of this conversation with Todd and Fortis fellow Libby Clawson Steele to come. This is Wretched Radio. Some struggles stay hidden for years. For many Christian women, pornography is one of them, and the shame surrounding it keeps them silent.
If you're listening and this is your struggle, I want you to know that shame and secrecy are not God's will for you.
Out of the Shadows is a three-part series from Fortis Institute hosted by our very own Libby Clawson, and it was made for the woman who believes she's the only one.
If you've written yourself off as someone outside of God's mercy, hear me. You are not too far gone. Sin is real, yes, but so is forgiveness.
Out of the Shadows, streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus with a free study guide to go along with it. You don't have to keep this struggle in the shadows because there is hope and there is forgiveness and there is freedom in Christ. Available right now at fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire. Sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online or, of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You've probably heard survival of the fittest your whole life. It sounds scientific, doesn't it? It sounds like nature's doing its thing. But ideas have consequences. And that idea, it's left a trail. Our resource, What Hath Darwin Wrought, traces how Darwinian evolution reshaped the way culture thinks about human value and how those ideas were used to justify things like eugenics, forced sterilization, racism, and some of the worst atrocities of the 20th century. This isn't conspiracy theory stuff. This is documented history that most people have never been taught. This investigative series connects the dots from the classroom to the courtroom to the concentration camp, and then it brings it forward to today's debates about life, ethics, and who gets to decide which humans matter. This is compelling stuff taught very clearly, and it offers something the world doesn't, a biblical response rooted in the image of God. What Hath Darwin Wrought is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Not the first voice you probably expected to hear, but if you didn't hear the first segment, Todd is speaking with Libby Glossin, Fortis Fellow Libby Glossin, who's just recently released a new resource at fortisplus.org. It's called Out of the Shadows. We're continuing their conversation now as they continue to talk about the growing number of women who are struggling with the issue of pornography.
All right, so it's a worship disorder of sorts. They're receiving some sort of affirmation from this. They believe that they're receiving love from this. Approval, I believe, was one of the things that you said. How are they receiving approval from watching that?
Well, I think actually I would flip that on its head and say that when someone is seeking approval or affirmation, on the flip side of that, they are afraid of or avoiding at all costs any kind of opportunity where they would be rejected. So as you said, the screen kind of keeps them safe. They're not going to be rejected by a screen. They are going to be accepted. They're accepted into the realm of the fantasy that's going on. And I think the other part too that I left out when I was just naming off the different reasons when we were talking about this at the beginning, another part of it is really goes back to Eve and her stance on what God has given me isn't enough. And I think that runs true through all women, maybe not generally all women, but through women in our population now too, in our culture, that we are not satisfied with what God has given us. So we want more. We want that one thing that we've been told, no, not that thing. You can have everything else, but not that.
And now that the gates have been opened for women to charge through them, and to behave any way that they want to, that makes them feel better, they're off to the sin races.
Yes.
There's a term, I don't know if you're familiar with this, reverse pornography for women.
I have not heard reverse pornography.
Yeah. Mrs. Friel was teaching me about this. The women that put themselves out on whatever these platforms, I don't even know what they're called.
Where that people pay for the videos?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It is a way to receive, to be looked at, not look at. So it's reverse pornography because they want men to look at them.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. It's true.
Well, it's again, another trend that I think is somewhat, it's not exclusive, but it's somewhat uniquely 21st century behavior. All right. Let's talk about getting started in helping these women, right? Want to affirm this again. Would you please affirm or deny that there is hope for a woman who believes that she is so caught up in a cesspool of sin, there's no rescuing, there's no cleansing for her. There is hope for that woman, correct?
Yes, there is absolutely hope. There's hope for everyone, no matter what depths of sin you're in. Otherwise, Paul would have been in big trouble on the road to Damascus when he was still Saul.
Right. All right. So there are some methods that have been used outside of the church and inside of the church to help women. Here's one. Tell me if you think this is a good one. This would be the Bob Newhart approach. Stop it. Just stop it. Huh? Yeah, good. Right? Huh? Does that help?
It might help for 5 minutes. And you might be able to, as one of my pastors says, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Sola bootstrapis. Might be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
And be able to maintain for 5 minutes or 5 days. But when you're doing it on your own, that's your own gumption. It falls short. You can't hold that pattern without some help.
How's about shame?
Shame doesn't work either. Shame doesn't work either. Biblical guilt has a purpose. God gave us a conscience. And the role of guilt in our lives as believers. So this would apply to a believer, because if you're an unbeliever, you don't have a rightly functioning conscience anyway. But biblical guilt is meant to lead us to repentance. Shame buries all of that.
Yeah, see, I would say this. You tell me if you agree. Shame, I think, can help an individual curb their behavior, but it never gives them victory over the behavior, to help them conquer the behavior and discover what it is that is driving the behavior so they can suppress it because, well, it would be really embarrassing if somebody found out about this. But that doesn't mean they don't still desire the sin.
Right.
So shame can't fix the heart.
That's right.
It can curb the behavior a little, but it can't fix the heart, which is the problem with pornography. True. It's a heart issue.
Yes.
All right. So just stop it. Shaming somebody. How's about just you get rid of all of the equipment, you get rid of the phone, you get rid of the computer, all of that stuff. Does that help?
Absolutely. So that would be part of a repentance plan that I would encourage any lady who scripture says, if your eye is causing you to sin, gouge it out, right? So we want to get rid of as much as possible to not give an opportunity for sin to happen, to make
radical
no provision.
Amputation.
Yes, radical right. amputation.
But again, though, I would revert back to the shame principle. Yes, it'll help you not look at it because you don't have access to it. That doesn't mean you still aren't desiring it in your heart.
That's true.
Because you haven't gotten to what it is are you seeking
right.
through this.
That's right.
Because that's really what they're seeking something.
Yes.
They're desiring, they're needing something.
Yes. Yes. And I would almost say that they're believing something, a promise that is going to be fulfilled. Sin always does that, makes promises it can't keep.
Right.
And this sin is the same. And so there at some level is an unbelief in some part of God's character. Now, if you're a believer and you're struggling with the sin of pornography, it doesn't mean that you're not a believer, but you would be like the Roman soldier. I believe, help my unbelief. There's something going on at the belief level about God and his character that is motivating a seeking in another direction for this satisfaction.
Let's explore that.
Okay.
Because I think that's getting really now to the heart of the issue. That's that worship disorder principle you were describing. What might be some bad beliefs that are motivating this behavior in women? Beliefs about God.
Beliefs about God, that they're wrong theology, basically.
Yeah.
It's where orthodoxy, so what they believe to be true, their confessional theology is not matching their functional theology.
For instance.
So, yeah, for instance would be, so God is good. God is all good. Maybe they're in a human relationship with a man who is not treating them well. Or they have that in their history where a man has not treated them well in the past. And the culture tells us that that is like a open gate for us to be able to fix that ourselves. If this happened to you, if this is your reality that you're living out right now, then you deserve to figure out how to make that better in your life and do whatever it takes. You know, the you do you and the all of the things that our culture encourages us to. So if you don't believe God is good in this moment, if God was really good, he would give me an awesome husband who fulfills every intimate desire that I have. But God is good. So believing that God is good and he has you in the marriage or the situation that you're in for your good and his glory, that changes everything. When you don't believe he's good, then you try to make things good for yourself.
You also hinted at something that I think is a motivator for men. They believe they deserve it. Mm-hmm. My husband isn't good. I need this sort of affection and approval and intimacy, albeit pretend and pixelated, but it's a reward for all of the bad things that they're enduring.
Yes.
As a motivator.
Yes. I think that motivates women as well. And specifically that in maybe a little bit different way than guys, if there's a mom that's involved, somebody that has children and she has basically poured out her physical body for her children to birth them, to feed them, to care for them. And it's like an escape. It's like I've done all these great things all day. I've done everything. I've given myself all day. And now I deserve, like you said, I deserve
it's a reward.
Something back. Yes.
It's a reward. All right. Yes. Back to where theology can be off that can produce this sort of bad fruit. It's God's goodness. What about his holiness?
Yes. His holiness is absolutely a play. And we're called in 1 Peter, we're called to be holy as God is holy. And so God's holiness is different than the holiness we reflect, of course, but God's holiness is really what is at stake in any kind of sin struggle that we are participating in. And I really think that's the heart of the wrong theology, is not a big enough theology of God.
Right.
That we believe God is over in the corner, or he's just here to make my life easier or make me feel better. And he's going to understand, because certainly he can see what I'm going through on a daily basis. And we forget he is the Isaiah 6 God,
right?
Holy God.
So there's the view that he's just kind of squishy and lovable and he's my daddy and he understands. Mm-hmm. That can be problematic. Not remembering holiness, not remembering his goodness, his omnipresence, yes. Perhaps that he's in the room with you.
Yes.
Is being forgotten.
Yes. Yes. There's nowhere you can go that God isn't. He is always with us.
We've got much more still to come as Todd and Libby continue their conversation. This is Wretched Radio. And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The State Department is preparing what would be the largest mass visa replication in American history. According to the Associated Press, it's moving to cancel business and tourist visas held by as many as 200,000 foreigners. These are people who came in as short-term visitors and then applied for asylum once they were already here. And revoking a visa doesn't deport anyone, it just puts the case before an immigration judge. The Deputy Secretary of State put it plainly, saying that asylum was built as a narrow shelter for the persecuted, not as a workaround for people who would just rather not go home. Immigration decides who arrives, not what happens next. A religious ruling from January is about to move real money into American elections. Two of the largest Islamic legal councils in North America have declared that zakat may now be spent on politics. Zakat is the yearly tithe every observant Muslim owes, and it's always gone to the poor. Real Clear Investigations puts the pool at more than $140 million per year, aimed at candidates who oppose Israel in favor of making criticism of Muhammad a punishable offense in America. Christians here have argued for a century over whether faith belongs near a ballot box, and somebody just answered that, and blasphemy law was their answer. And that's power pursued at the ballot box. But in Pennsylvania, a governor wants power the ballot box already denied him. Josh Shapiro's health department has proposed a 502-page rewrite of the state health code. The Daily Wire reports the department can currently order disease control measures only during an active outbreak. The rewrite would let it act to prevent one. Health workers could enter an apartment or a school without a warrant and meet privately with your child, and school staff are told they may not obstruct it. Pennsylvania residents amended their constitution in 2021 to cap those powers at 3 weeks. Voters have already shut that door. This one would open it by regulation, where voters don't get a vote. And that's a lot of trust to hand officials you'll never even meet. But here's what it can cost. The Democratic nominee in one of the country's closest House races sits on a school board in California's Central Valley. In 2022, the board voted unanimously to hire a high school campus supervisor. Sounds all right so far, right? Well, the district had fired that same man from that same campus 9 years earlier after police investigated him for sending inappropriate messages to a student athlete. The memo in front of the board never mentioned that part of it. It said that the hire fit the district's commitment to keeping students safe. 6 months later, he was arrested for molesting a 15-year-old girl. I think everyone with common sense saw that one coming. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio as we continue our conversation between Todd and Fortis Institute fellow Libby Glossett.
Is there any other theology proper that would fall underneath theology proper about God that you think could be off in a woman's belief system that would contribute to her looking at porn?
The only other one I can think of off right off the top of my head is his sovereignty. I think we get God's sovereignty really pigeonholed in just that God is in control, but his sovereignty is so much bigger than that. His sovereignty means he has the right to intersect our lives in any way that he wants to. And sometimes I think ladies question or don't believe God's sovereignty when things aren't 100% going the way they thought they were, that they should go. And I think hand in hand with that is a wrong understanding of God's promises that goes with his sovereignty, that we think God promises things that he doesn't. Like if we're really good and we follow all the steps, we're going to get an awesome husband who, and life's going to be easy and everybody's going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And life doesn't go like that. God uses suffering to make us more like Christ.
Right. So what you're describing is theological. It's at the heart level. Now, let's do some role playing here. This is not going to be easy. I'm going to be a counselee.
Okay.
In other words, I'm going to identify as a woman.
Okay. I was going to say, you're going to have to grow some hair.
Don't judge. No, you don't. All of those things are external markers. They don't mean anything. And then they go about the business of fighting for those body distinctions that they say are irrelevant. Nevertheless, I'm going to identify as a woman. I come into your office and I say, I've got this struggle and I'd like to be over it. Where do you as the counselor begin with a woman like me?
Yes. So my first question would be, what's motivating you to want to be over it? What is driving you to want to get over this or stop this sin? Because there's such a huge difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow.
Right.
When we have worldly sorrow, it's just, I don't want the consequences of this anymore. I don't want to deal with my husband being mad or me feeling horrible. I just feel guilty all the time. Right. That's worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow that motivates us to real change. So if a lady says, if you were to respond to me as a woman, the reason why is because I know I'm sinning against a holy God and I have been set apart. I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm his. He died for me and I shouldn't be living like this. I should be living a set apart life. That's way different than you responding and saying.
Has anybody ever said that when they walked into your office?
I've had one lady specifically in the pornography realm of things say, I am sinning against God. I know that my body is a temple. And when I allow this into my eyes, most other ladies don't want the consequences. They just want to feel better.
All right. All right. Okay. So I'm in your office and you've asked the question, why do I want to change? Well, you know, it's just not a really good example for my kids. And I don't want my husband. I mean, if my husband found out, yikes, that could be really big trouble. Where do you go from there?
So as you mentioned earlier, we were talking about shame. Shame can be a good kind of jump starter to the conversation and help you to get down to the deeper level of why. Now, what you were just talking about, so if you were a lady sitting across from me and you were saying, it's a bad example. I don't want my kids to think badly of me and I don't want my husband to think badly of me. That's fear of man. And we need to fear God more than we fear man. So the motivator still has to go past. That's a good place to start. But then the conversation would have to go past that. A bigger deal is what God is seeing in your life.
So you're going to want to turn my thinking around and teach me about repentance and try to help the woman understand you got a much bigger problem.
That's
and that
right.
is God himself. Now, what if the woman, though, isn't all that concerned about that?
About sinning against God, you
uh-huh.
mean? I think that would probably turn into an evangelism conversation because a true believer, a true follower of Christ, a person who's really come to saving faith is going to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in their
heart. All right, and not to get off track here, but could there be a Christian woman who she's battled it for a long time, failed, and is just kind of like, I don't have that response anymore.
Yes.
Can that be a genuine Christian woman who just isn't feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit much or at all?
Yes. Yes. The Bible talks about that, how we can dull our consciences. And the Puritans talked a lot about that, about how our consciences can get dull mm-hmm. after repeated exposure over and over again to the same sin and not repenting.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to make a distinction, because there could be a woman who hears this and it's like, yikes, does that mean I'm not a Christian? Well, it can, but not definitively. Right. It could be that you have really dulled that conscience, which you never want to override.
Right.
And if you're doing it regularly, you are going to feel that. All right. So you're going to teach me then about my bigger issue is a sin against God in all of this. How do you help a woman to appreciate that this particular sin is so egregious against God that it should motivate her, therefore, to stop it? There's got to be more to it than just, well, look, you're sinning against a holy God. Ba-boom, ba-bing, you're done.
Yes.
Well, no.
Right.
So keep me going in the process here.
Okay. So this would be a heart issue as well, a heart level issue, where I would talk to the lady and ask her, what is motivating you? What are you wanting? What do you desire? What makes you happy? What brings you joy? What do you hate? What do you love? All the questions. The Bible says that the waters of the heart are deep. And so conversations would have to be had to figure out what is actually going on at the root. I think our hearts are a lot like toothpaste tubes. When our hearts get squeezed, and by our hearts, I mean the core of who we are, not just the beating organ in our chest. It's really our guts. What is driving us to be the people? It's who we are, the people that we are, what makes us who we are. And when that gets squeezed, what comes out was what was already in there.
Right.
And James talks about that too. That's the desires giving birth to sin. So it would be a backing up to, where did this thinking go askew? And that's another piece too, is the renewed mind is going to what she's thinking about. What is she allowing herself to ruminate on?
So it would be good for a woman or a man, but in this context, a woman, if she's being tempted to stop and do some heart checking.
Yes.
What is it what is she looking for here? What is she seeking to please fulfill?
Yes.
Get out of it. Now, what if, and I think this is where I think men and women get confused about this, the actual physical lust component. I think they expect, okay, I'm going to go into counseling. I'm going to hear something and I will stop having these desires for that. That's not usually the way it works, at least not immediately. Mm-hmm. It's providing the tools and the right thinking and believing that gives you the power to resist the temptation. Yes. Doesn't necessarily remove the temptation, at least not initially, but it helps you to overcome it. So what if a woman is like, I look at it because I just like it.
That's a great question. That would be a conversation of what makes you like it. What draws you in? What's attractive? What do you get out of? We all get something out of anything that we're willing to spend time on.
So are you saying that it's more than just pure physical pleasure?
Yes. And I think Jesus actually talks about that in Matthew 5 when he expands on the Ten Commandments and includes the heart in the Ten Commandments. And in verses 27 through 30, he talks about lust being not just physical, not just acting on it, but that it is the act of looking. It's the act of allowing your mind to ruminate. And ladies are really good at this.
Okay, but I agree with you. But I think this could be really helpful, Libby. If it's especially for guys, but I think it's true for at least some women, if not a lot of them, they wouldn't be able to articulate anything other than, I just like, it's pleasurable. It brings me pleasure in the moment. Now, is that all there is for some people, or is there always a heart issue accompanying it?
I would say there's always a heart issue accompanying it because it's sin. Because it's sin, it's not just, it's never just the action. It's David and Bathsheba. It's always more than just the action. There's something driving it. And whether that, it maybe somebody's not aware. Maybe a woman wouldn't be aware of what's driving it. So she would say, I just like looking at it.
So that would be the role of the counselor.
Right.
To then get in and dig.
Yes.
Until you get to the core of it, the yes. root of the problem.
That's right.
All right. So the woman identifies what it is that is driving it. It could be the affirmation, the love, the husband is crummy, she's not believing correctly about God. What then would, how would you instruct that woman then? So now you're going to leave my office. What tools would you give to that woman to help her have victory in this battle?
That's what we call a cliffhanger, and I don't like to do those, but hey, hang tight. We're going to be back with the rest of this conversation between Todd and Fortis fellow Libby Glosson. It is on the way next on Wretched Radio.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know, the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no. Then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving, or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow-up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now, except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. We've been listening to Todd Friel and Libby Glosson have a conversation about Libby's latest resource, Out of the Shadows, which can be found on fortisplus.org. Let's continue and hear Libby's answer. I know I left on a bit of a cliffhanger, but here's the question Todd left her with. What tools do you give a woman who is about to leave your office so she can begin to find victory in this battle over pornography?
So God is so kind in his word. He never tells us, just like Bob Newhart, to stop it, stop it, stop it.
Right.
He always tells us, don't do this, do this instead. So it's a lot of backfilling life with what you would have done sinfully in those moments. Instead, now do something else. And it might be at the thought level. So if a lady is really struggling at the thought level, and that is what's producing, she spends a lot of time thinking, ruminating on, reading romance novels that are more than romance novels, and it gets in her noggin. She's thinking about it all the time. Then that would be, instead of thinking on those things, we're going to do what the Bible tells us to in Philippians 4. We want to think on things that are good and true and pure and holy and worthy of praise. Those are all attributes of God. So that's the first step. We want to behold God more. The more you behold God, the less you're looking at yourself and all the other stuff around you. If it has moved to the action level, it would depend on where in the action level it is. If it is, like you said, getting rid of the computer, throwing out the phone, get a dumb phone. I have one counselee who has done that. Get a dumb phone instead of a smartphone so you don't have access. An accountability partner, somebody who's actually going to keep you accountable.
Okay, but I want to go, you said something and I went, ooh, I think that could provide clarity. Oh, let's just say the woman, let's just say me. Because I'm still playing that role. How am I doing, by the way?
You're doing great. Right? You make a great lady.
Oh, no. That's either bad for all women or me. One of the two.
Or Mrs. Friel.
A woman who, when you dig down into the heart, she suddenly realizes it's escapism. It's just kind of Calgon, take me away. I go into this world, fantasize about it, imagine that I'm in there or that's my husband or whatever it is that's going on. It's escapism. So now you've got to ask the questions. Why are you seeking to us? What is it that you want to run away from?
Yes.
And go to work on that problem. That's just getting down deeper into the heart level as opposed to just playing around at the surface level. So digging into. So if the woman then discovers, you know what? I have been escaping because my husband and I, we aren't getting along. And it is kind of bad in the bedroom. And we aren't as close as we once were. Well, then you go to work on that issue.
That's right. That's right.
But the first step is that heart discovery process.
Yes. It's almost always something else. It's almost always something else under the surface. And to that would be, work on discontentment. You're not content with what God has given you. So you're looking outside of what God has given you for escape, to get away.
In gratitude?
Yeah.
So then a remedy would be growing in gratitude.
Yes. Yes.
Being grateful for what you do have.
That's right.
Now, that's got to, though, bring us to really what's the core of this. This is why we're Christians. That has to bring us to Christ.
Yes.
Because it's an understanding the gospel. One of the things that the gospel informs us, in fact, really the initial thing that the law preceding the gospel informs us is, I don't deserve a good husband. I don't deserve a good wife. I don't deserve anything. Maybe something that theology needs to be cultivated a little bit more.
Yes, I agree 100%. I think that also is a product of our culture that we live in today, that we get fed all the time that we deserve me time. The look on some mom's face when we discover together in counseling that you actually don't deserve me time and that you are called to steward your children. Now, do you need a moment to breathe and collect yourself and take some time to read God's word? Yes, but when you don't get that, it doesn't equal now I'm justified in this sin. Now I deserve to go seek this elsewhere because I'm not getting it.
Right.
There. Yeah.
Right. So I'm just trying to think of all of the different aspects that might lead a woman to this. So escapism, ingratitude could be a part of it. Not recognizing the depravity of her own sin and that I deserve hell, not perfect intimacy. So it's cultivating gospel thinking.
Yes.
It's thinking about what your Savior did. Luther had a great quote. I'll translate it from German. You should always hear the nails of Jesus rattling in your pockets.
Yes.
And maybe that's an issue for some women.
Yes. Yeah, I think, and so if you're talking gospel, that is the core of it, is I do believe that it's either an ignorance or not a full understanding, or maybe an on-purpose rejection of fully understanding what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't just die on the cross. He took on our sin and he bought us so that we can have relationship with God. And if you have that in full view, that's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, that it's as we behold him, then we're transformed. And that's the key, is when we get our eyes off of that and onto things that we think look better.
So a woman who's struggling with this almost certainly needs to focus on that more.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Now, somebody maybe would say at this moment, oh, so give them a Bible verse and send them on their way. It's not what you're describing, is it?
That's right.
All right. It's more than that. Now, let's walk through the application of that. I'm a woman. My husband is gone, finally left on that business trip. I get some me time. I get to be alone with my computer. Mm-hmm. How would you coach a woman through how to, like, I'm being pulled by it. Mm-hmm. It's calling my name. What should they do step by step?
Well, I think a great illustration, I can't remember what professor gave me this illustration years ago, but he said that he had a dog that would run out his back door and straight to the fence in the back of the yard every day and then run back. And one day the dog ran to the fence and there was, I think it was an alligator. I think this was a professor in Florida.
Yeah.
Alligator. The dog turned on his heels and ran back in the house as fast as he could without getting to the fence that he normally ran to. That's what we're supposed to do with sin. We're not supposed to creep up, see how close we can get, see, hey, is that alligator alive? Is he going to bite me? No, you should be fleeing. So that might mean you close your computer and you go for a walk if your kids are with mom or dad, or you immediately call somebody. But it's always going to go back to your heart, because in that moment, you're making a choice of who you love more, yourself or Christ. And I think that's what we miss, is in that moment, you're choosing. Am I going to glorify God right now or am I not? And for believers, the great thing is we have the power to say no to sin because we have Christ. That's what biblical freedom is all about. We're not just free to do whatever we want to do. We are free from the bondage of sin. So for ladies that I've sat across from, when I say to them, the Bible says you don't have to do this anymore, no matter what happened in your past. What happened in your past may have influenced you. It may impact you, but it is not determining how you're going to act. You can choose to live a different way.
Yeah. So don't get close to sin, battle sin. And I think this is too where sometimes people get discouraged. They think that if they're staring at Jesus with unveiled face, they shouldn't have this temptation. Well, no, the temptation isn't sin.
Right.
Temptation is a temptation.
Right.
What you do with it can be the sin.
Yes.
If you cooperate with it and participate in it. So I think that they maybe get discouraged because it's like, why do I have to keep fighting this? Why do I have to? That doesn't mean you're not winning. It just means that you need to grow stronger and stronger in your faith, because this is what you referred to earlier, progressive sanctification. All right. I want to focus a little bit more on that statement that you made about you're making a decision in that moment, because those practical things are good. Fine. Take a cold shower. Go watch a Hallmark movie. No, don't do that. That's always bad advice, just because they're such bad movies. But they kind of, there's something about that attracts women. Just kind of, they put themselves into that. Maybe not sexually, but it can be the same motivation of escapism. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I want to do those practical things, radical amputation. I want to keep working on my heart. But in the moment of temptation, by identifying this, I've got a worship decision to make right now. Mm-hmm. I'm either going to worship the Lord or I'm going to sin against my God. I think is a helpful way of understanding the decision you're about to make. Will I love my God more in this moment, or will I love this dirty thing?
That's right. And that's how people around people who struggle with this type of sin can help them. How can you glorify God in this moment? It's not a secret recipe. That is the answer. There's not five steps. It's really, how can you glorify God in this moment? And you have a choice.
Libby Glosson, Fortis Fellow. Also, you lead women through a study on this in a resource called Out of the Shadows. It's available at fortisplus.org. It's absolutely free. It also has a study guide. Encourage all women to avail themselves of that free resource because you do a bang-up job of dealing with this on the level that it needs to, biblically and at the heart level. It's called Out of the Shadows. Libby Glosson, Fortis Fellow. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.